There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at Burrow.com/ACAST. That's Burrow.com/ACAST. Burrow.com/ACAST.
In this episode, I'm joined by Armando Leduc. Armando is a singer, actor, filmmaker, entrepreneur, podcaster. He really does it all. There are links in the show notes to all of his content, but check out his showreels on YouTube because you might just have seen him in some things that you're familiar with. As owner of Leduc Entertainment, Armando and his team also help businesses tell their stories on camera. And given his background, he was the perfect person to speak to about mastering on-camera confidence and screen presence. Enjoy the episode.
This is Internet Marketing.
Armando, thanks for being here. I'm actually really glad, and it's really timely that you're here. I'm going to say 30 minutes ago, I was in a conversation with a colleague of mine, and we were talking about someone that we were in a meeting with this week that appeared a little bit nervous on camera. As I was in this conversation with my colleague, she was saying to me that she feels like she's a different person on camera than she is in person. I've always been someone that feels like they're the same type of person on camera, on audio, in person. My personality doesn't really change too much. I just thought that was a perfect setup for this particular podcast because we will be talking about mastering on-camera confidence, something you have a lot of experience in.
Love it. Thank you for having me.
I'd love to know a little bit more about what you're doing day-to-day at the moment. And I just know that you have a lot of areas of interest. You have a lot of professions. They're all within the entertainment industry. But talk me through. How's your day looking today?
Today, I usually wake up at 4:30 or 5 o'clock in the morning, and not because I'm like early riser, rise type guy. It's just that I have a 4-year-old, and you know, when you own your own business, you really don't have time. The only time I have for myself is right there in the morning, and if I don't wake up at that time, I just don't get my me time to do my writing, to do my reading, to exercise, you know. And I usually do all of that stuff at 5 o'clock to about 7:30. And then I, you know, have breakfast with the family, and then I'm off to work.
And what's work?
So work. So I have a studio here in New Orleans, Louisiana. And so we have a content marketing studio. So we have about, 9-10 different setups here. Anything from like a podcast setup to like a living room setup, and different places for people to come in. We have a green screen, and they come in and we shoot about 50 to 100 pieces of content in a day for clients all over the country. When I say country, the United States, yep. Not international quite yet. So when I come in, if I'm not on, if I'm not producing a shoot, then I'm usually working on sort of the top level visionary things for my business. So, you know, thinking of processes and procedures that we can implement, you know, the big ideas to really 10X the business, you know, and then just meeting with my leadership team, you know, one-to-one, making sure that they have the support that they need to get our quarterly goals done. And it's just consistency in that department. So it depends on, so the long-winded answer to your question is it really depends on the day. So if you're asking me today, I have some podcasts that I was invited to. Yours is the first one. And then I have some videos that I'm recording to do some follow-ups. I really use Loom a lot to really explain my ideas. Instead of sending a 2 to 3 page email, I put it in a video and then I send it out, and it, the person usually gets the tone, and they usually get, you know, what it is that I'm trying to accomplish, you know, with the vision, because I'm not necessarily the details guy.
I'm a big fan of Loom, and I've found it so liberating. For a long time in this company, it was frustrating because I was trying to encourage people to use Loom, but people were a little bit hesitant. Over the years, that's changed and people have become more comfortable with it. And now I see how liberated people feel in their communication once they start to adopt it. But that initial hurdle to adopt something like Loom, I don't know, it seemed quite a struggle for us in our company. How's it been in yours?
It was definitely a struggle. But because we do content marketing and we're on film and we're constantly recording, it's the culture of the company to be on camera. So I'm going to ask you questions. You know, you're going to be on camera. We have a morning huddle because we have a team that's international. So we have, you know, team members that are in Venezuela, the Philippines, India, you know, the United States, Europe. So we meet every morning and we do, you know, a morning huddle in a Zoom, and people are on camera. So, but it was a struggle for them to adopt a new sort of way of doing things. But once they understood how much time we could save without having to necessarily have a meeting about every single thing, it doesn't need to be a meeting, right? Sometimes it's just, hey, I want to explain this task to you, and then you can go off and you can take care of it, right? We don't have to have a 15-minute meeting about it. And if they have questions, then they can send it to me in a Loom. And then I can, instead of being on the spot with trying to answer those questions, I can marinate and go, this is probably the best course of action here. Boom. And then I send another video and then we're off to the races. So, putting those videos, Loom videos together and, you know, working on big picture things. Currently, I'm working on a book. It's called Scaling, like the speed of scaling in your business and how we can incorporate the different tools that I've sort of brought into my business in the last 3 years that really has helped me accelerate my business. I mean, we've 10x the business like 2 years in a row. We were at, I think, $69,000 in revenue in 2019, finished at $500,000 in 2021. And then this year we're finishing at around $1.3 million in revenue.
And the business you're talking about here is LeDuc Entertainment. Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah. It's this content marketing company. And so, I worked with a mentor who has this extremely successful law firm in Atlanta, Georgia. And we went to high school together, and he said, hey, during COVID, he said, hey, I want to start a business called Eight Figure Firm where I'm teaching other attorneys how to scale their businesses to eight figures. And I was like, wow, yeah, I would love to be involved in that. Mm-hmm. So I started creating content for him, started going to all of the masterminds. He started mentoring me, and I was just like, wow, this is totally duplicatable. It's not necessarily hard in terms of what it is that you need to do. It's hard to take the plunge and trust that this process works, right? But if you trust it and you implement these strategies, the quicker you implement, the faster you'll grow your business. So I just trusted him and I said, look, I'm going to do exactly what you said because you've got a $45 million law firm. Right. And so we operate our business sort of like a law firm operates their business, right? Because at the end of the day, it's just business. So what are my processes and procedures? What's my vision, mission, core values? How am I putting my processes in place? What are my KPIs? Am I doing scorecards? How are my one-to-ones running? How am I holding people accountable? All of those things. And when you put them into action, then you'll start to see real traction and real growth in your business. And so that's what I'm working on right now is completing this book. So when I'm not working on, you know, developing my leaders, then I'm working on creating content and, just putting more content out there.
Is this the first book that you've ever written yourself?
So I've had some online courses on acting. I put together an acting the biz course for actors that want to break into the business, the acting business, and how to audition and how to, you know, submit to agents. And then I also put together my own way of approaching scripts, pulled from improv, Uta Hagen, Stella Adler, Stanislavski, all of these different acting methods. And then I put something together that I felt like worked for me. And so I put that together in an online course. So I have two of those courses. As far as a book, I mean, I've done an ebook, but this is going to be my first book that gets released.
What have you noticed that's different about the process of writing a book compared to those other assets?
I read a book called Who Not How. It's written by Dan Sullivan, and the guy is a genius. But he talks about you don't get caught up in the what you need to do. Get caught up in who you need in order to get those things accomplished. I'm not a book writer, right? So when I tell you that I'm writing my book, what I'm doing is I'm piecing together my table of contents, and then I have a book writer that I get with, and I explain to her, you know, what my vision is. And then she asks, you know, she sort of grills me on all of the different topics. And then I just sort of word vomit to her. And then she takes all of that and then she puts it in book format. So I'm not technically writing a book myself, but I am. But she is, you know, interviewing me, and I am giving my perspective on this entire process.
Yeah, I've interviewed people on this podcast before that have those kind of publishing companies where they help people to write their first books and they go through this process. It sounds like the one that you're going through, but I don't actually think I've ever interviewed anyone that's been on the other end of that process that's written a book through this process.
I've written screenplays. So I've done that. I wrote a screenplay, Bourbon Wiz. It's The Wizard of Oz meets Bourbon Street.
Lovely.
So that's completed. It's on YouTube if you guys want to check that out. It's a wild movie. I worked on Bourbon Street for a long time as a musician, and wrote that movie. So it's a little out there. And then I wrote another one called The Chronicles of Count Carlos. It's a vampire comedy set here in New Orleans, and actually won the New Orleans Film Festival Pitch Fest, and they flew me out to Vegas and met with HBO and got an offer on the script, but I didn't think it was worth it because I wanted to do it myself. So it's still in pre-production. I still want to make it happen. But so as far as writing is concerned, yes, I'm a writer, screenwriter, and storyteller. As far as an author of a book, I feel like if I had the time, I could sit and I could write this book out, but I don't have the time. Right. And I just need to get this book out. And I think that I can just leverage the people I need. And she's great. The woman I'm working with, Allison, she's an amazing writer. And so she's just, you know, she knows how to ask the right questions. And in my brain, I think that that's probably the quickest and fastest way to get your ideas out there. Cause I mean, it's a content game these days.
Yeah, that's interesting. Cause I want to, and I will ask you what your goal is with the book. I of course expect that, as you said, there's some kind of lead generation or business generation that you maybe want as a result of this, or influence, I'm not sure. But, you know, as you were talking there, you mentioned the efficiency of this process or the speed. So it sounded to me like one of your goals was actually to get all of this information that's in your head out into the world, almost like so that it's out of your head and you can focus on other things and move forward as well. Yeah, handing that question back to you, what are your goals with this book?
I love that. Yes. You know, it's crazy. If you would have asked me 3 weeks ago what my goal for the book was and all of that, I'd have given you a different answer. I had a really sort of life-changing moment at what they call a visionary summit. My friend, Coach Bob, had put it together, and he invites visionaries from across the country to come to do this 3-day intensive. And I met with a guy who's this, you know, sort of a spiritual guide. And he was just, man, he just changed my entire outlook on life. Cause I was so focused on the building of it and the money of it. Right. And, And he just said, you know, he had us do this exercise where he was like, I want you to envision your last day on Earth, right? And it's so far out in the future, right? Like you're 120 years old, right? And I want you to write a letter to yourself now from the perspective of you yourself in the future. And I want you to use your non-dominant hand to write it. And in the writing, it was so crazy because it was like, you know, stop trying to fit it all in. You've already made it, right? Like you don't have to try anymore. You're living your bonus life, right? And it was like, wow. It really took me back. And I said, wow, what am I? And then it made me question my whys. Like, why am I doing this? Why am I doing what I'm doing? And why I'm doing it is because I'd like people to experience a level of freedom so that they can experience more of what life has to offer besides being afraid of making money, right? Yeah. Like, who cares if I make, you know, 8 figures and 9 figures? Like I see people all the time that are like, I want to make 8 figures. They get to 8 figures and they're like, I want to make 9 figures. And they get to 9 figures, you know, and it's a never ending cycle that way. Right. I just want enough money at this point to help as many people as I can experience what they, to get to a point where they have enough financial freedom to experience life without the fear of making money. So that's my why, right? And if I can help enough people change their mindset as far as like money is concerned and they can experience this financial freedom, man, what an amazing life, you know? And I was he was also talking about this sort of, you know, work-life balance and the myth of work-life balance. He says the myth, work-life balance is a myth. It's all about harmony. It's all about vibrations. Right? It's all about, are you vibrating at the right frequency to attract the things that you want in your life, right? So if you're vibrating at a low frequency, there's nothing wrong with that, right? And there's no good or bad. It just is, right? And the yin and the yang and the duality of life. I'm telling you, man, it was this life-changing experience. He's like, when you're on a swing, what do you always focus on? You're always focused on the front, right? You're always focused on pushing forward to get the swing to move. But we rarely think about the other end of it, the negative end of it, of pushing back, right? In order to move forward. So that way there's a pendulum, right? And that's the duality of life. There's always something, right? There's always the thing that you're looking at. But remember that on the flip side of what you're doing, there's something else. There's something else that you're giving up because you're saying yes to this, right? And once again, it's not a good or a bad thing. It's just, are you aware of it, right? And so it was just, it got real woo-woo, but I just was like, I was really just mind blown by it. And I was like, man, I really want to bring this harmony, this feeling of I've already made it. And I'm just having a good time and I really want to help people and I really want to connect with people and like just leading with love, leading with positivity, leading with this mode, you know, this just, can I make people feel right? And if I can, and if I can help them understand like what they're capable of, then that to me is success. That's what I really want. From writing this book, you know, it's just to really help people get financially free so that they can experience life to the fullest.
This sounds like a life-changing period for you. And one of the questions that I had coming into this podcast was about how you achieve this balance between passion and profit. So, you know, you have experience in acting and filmmaking, singing, you're now going to be an author. These are lots of creative endeavors. And, you know, it can be a struggle. And I'm sure you've experienced and got lots of stories about this and the profitability of creative endeavors. It sounds like you're really going through a journey of reflection and exploration at the moment about how to achieve this balance. Is there anything that you've changed very quickly to help achieve a better balance between this striving to spend your time in the areas that you're passionate about versus achieving profit?
It's not a separation.
Right.
And I used to think it was. I used to think there was a separation between, you know, my business life and my personal life, but it's all a symphony. My business life could be the woodwinds section, right? And then my family life could be the brass. And then my health life could be the drums. And then my, you know, my social life could be the piano. And, you know, so when everything is working in concert, there is no separation. Hmm. Right. And so when you stop thinking about compartmentalizing and start thinking about how can I make my life work in concert with everything that I'm doing, then I can infuse everything that I'm doing that's part of me into my life into a more harmonious way. And I'll tell you, man, since my marriage has gotten better, my relationship with my daughter has gotten better, my relationship with my employees has gotten better, I've made more money, my relationship with my clients has gotten better, my creativity has gotten better, right? Because I'm now thinking, not trying to compartmentalize and separate, I'm trying to think about how I can harmonize my life and bringing everything that is Armando Leduc into harmony with each other so that they all work in tandem and they help each other out. Like, my business life is going to help my family life. My family life is going to help my business life. My social life is going to help my family life and my business life, right? Mm-hmm. The connections that I make with my clients become friendships, right? So there's no separation. And that was the biggest thing that I learned from Stephen Young, who I'm going to bring on to my podcast, but incredible, like just a different mindset. And it's like, wow, now I'm vibrating at a different frequency and I don't have to feel guilty about different things. I know sometimes I'm going to spend more time with my family and that's okay. And then sometimes I may spend a little bit more time on the business at times. Like, it comes in waves, right? It ebbs and flows. Mm. And so if I can think about how I can harmonize with it, and I heard a quick little podcast. Do you know who Brené Brown is?
No, I don't know that name.
She's amazing. She has a book on vulnerability. Mm-hmm. But what she talked about in this quick little snippet that really has changed me and my wife's marriage is that she will let her husband know, and her husband will let her know before they get home at night where they are in terms of like a scale of 1 to 10, right? And going, hey, I just want to let you know before I get home, I'm at a 3. Like, I am super frustrated. I have so much going on. I've got this, I've got that, you know, so I just want to let you know that I'm at a 3 so that when we get home, you know, you know where I'm at. Right. And so he'll go, yeah, I'm at a 10. So I'm good. I can help you. You know what I mean? I'm totally not. I'm totally in a good mood. I can handle it. Whatever you need, I'll give you your time. You know, and then, but if you guys are also, if you guys are both at a 3, then you understand and you can give yourselves grace. Right. You can give yourselves, hey, I understand my wife is at a 3. I'm also at a 3. So together we can be a 6. We're not hitting 10, but it's okay that day. Right. And so that communication, whew, changed my life. This marriage is working on a different level. And once again, I think it comes with that harmony, right? It comes with creating this vibe, these vibrations and understanding that everything works in concert, you know? And sometimes the brass section has their solo. And you have, and the, everything else tones down because the brass section needs to come out. It's ba 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 ba, right? And then they go down, and then the drums come in, right? And then that comes down, and then the woodwinds, and then this, you know. So it's this crescendo, and then sometimes everything's working at the same time, and then everything's working a lot slower, right? It's diminuendo, you know. So I'm just riding this wave right now because it really feels good.
So more so, I can hear the passion in your voice, hear that you, I mean, to me, you sound like an extroverted individual, a confident individual. You've obviously got all of this experience in these creative industries, but has it always been that way? Are you just a kind of master in terms of on-camera presence because it's natural to you? or have you had to really work at that?
If you want to talk about Malcolm Gladwell's 10,000 hours, then absolutely. I've done, oh man, 60 television, over 60 television and film projects, over 50 theater projects, commercials, yeah, voiceover work, like the whole nine. So
yeah.
I'll bring it back to when I first started in this whole entertainment business. And that's, you know, as a kid, I played trumpet. And I always had this sort of, I always wanted to tell stories. My dad had a camcorder and I was always like telling stories and I always loved movies. But it wasn't until my senior year in high school, I got coaxed into auditioning for the school play. It was Grease. And I was super scared, but I auditioned anyway and ended up getting the lead role. And that sort of changed my life, right? In the whole process, I got comfortable when I kept doing it, right? Like it just was at the very beginning, when you first start something, there's so much apprehension. There's so much stuff you don't know, you know, but if you throw yourself into it and you just keep doing it, you're going to find those moments where you feel good and you're like, this makes sense, right? And you'll hit those epiphanies and you'll hit those breakthroughs, you know, and everybody learns in those four phases, right? Unconscious incompetence. This is where we don't know what we don't know. Then you have conscious incompetence. This is where you know that you're doing it wrong, but at least you're aware of it. Then you have conscious competence. This is where you're doing things right, but you're still having to think about it. And then you have unconscious competence. This is where you're doing things correctly and you're not even thinking about it. It's just second nature. So if you understand that you have to go through those phases, no matter what, you cannot skip any of those phases. And it doesn't matter what you do in your life. You have to go through those phases. So you are going to have, if you've never been on camera, if you've never performed, if you've never, you know, put yourself out there, you're going to be unconsciously incompetent. And that is okay, right? Then what happens is you put yourself on tape and you watch yourself. And you go, oh my God, I hate how I sound. I hate how I look. I hate this. I hate that. But we are our own worst critic, right? And that's where people most often will stop. They will stop at that point. They will stop at, I've seen myself on camera. I don't ever want to see that again. And then they just stop. But if you can just hold on, right? If you can just keep going, right? And understand that I don't care how I look, how I sound. I'm just going to continue to put myself out there, right? And then the next time you look at yourself, you will have learned something. Maybe don't hold your head up so high. Bring your chin down a little bit, right? Maybe you're talking too loud. Maybe you need to speak from your chest and you need to let it resonate here, right? And then you start to learn, right? And then obviously, you know, go and get some training. There's so many videos out there on YouTube on how to be on camera, right? And like the different things. I mean, I can give you guys my online course for free. If you guys are listening and you guys want this course, contact me. I'll give it to you for free. But it really just tells you how to approach the work. And if you approach the work from a level of knowledge and not necessarily, oh, I don't really know what I'm doing and how I'm going into it. Cause there is acting technique for a reason, right? Like it is how to get into the headspace of another character. It's the how to get into the headspace of approaching words so that you can speak more confidently, express the vision of the script, right? And just to give you we'll do a quick little acting lesson for you. What is the end result of this piece? Do you want to motivate someone? Do you want to educate someone? Do you want to entertain someone? Do you want to make them laugh? Do you want to make them cry? What is it that we're trying to accomplish with this piece of material, right? So let's start there. That's step number one, right? If we're starting with the end in mind. Great. So now we have something in our brains that we're going to approach the material with. That's step one, right? Now let's go back and let's talk about what our moment before was. Life is never just happening. Life is happening to you, but you have we never have like a blank slate before something happens, right? Up to this point, before I came onto the show, I had a whole morning, right? I had a whole morning of breakfast. I had a whole morning of cooking. I've had a whole morning of being with my family, and it was a good experience with my family, right? So my moment before coming onto this podcast was that I was super relaxed. I shaved my head clean. I was, you know, I cut my fingernails. I had a nice breakfast. Like, everything was super relaxed. So my moment before coming onto this podcast was super chill, right? However, if my moment before was I woke up late, I didn't get to shave, I didn't get to eat, right? My kid was yelling because she was having a meltdown. My wife is frustrated about it, right? Now I'm running around like crazy, trying to get my things together. I'm speeding as I'm coming here, right? My heart rate is up. My moment before now is I'm in a different space, right? So when I'm coming to that material, it changes, right? So now I have a whole different mindset because my moment before was different. So think about, and when you're getting into character, you have to think about what is your moment before, right before you hit action. And then that's going to help you get into a mindset where you're not necessarily thinking about yourself. You're thinking about your character. You're thinking about all the other things that have to do with performing other than, oh my God, the camera's on. Oh my God, what am I saying? Oh my God, this. Oh my God, that. I'm so nervous, right? If you focus on the work, all of those other things start to go down, right? And so that's how you can start to get more confident on camera, because now when you're approaching it, you're approaching it with confidence because you have some knowledge and you have some technique behind what it is that you're doing, right? And then secondly, you know, think about what is the relationship with the person that, when we're doing a scene, I have to think about what is the relationship between me and my scene partner, right? Is she my mother? Is she my lover? Is she my daughter? Is he my dad? Is he my mom? Is he my employee? Is he my boss? Because depending on the relationship, we're going to speak different, right? If Scott, I don't know. I just met you today. I'm meeting you for the first time. The conversation and how I have this conversation with you is going to change if I'm talking to my best friend, mm-hmm. if I'm talking to my mother, if I'm talking to my 4-year-old, if I'm talking to my employees, right? If I'm talking to somebody I like, I'm talking to somebody I love, if I'm talking to somebody I hate, right? So all of those things play into how you deliver a script and how you are on camera. So knowing this before you start speaking helps you get into the mindset of delivering a piece in order to get to the end result, which is, what do I want to entertain? Do I want to motivate? Do I want to make them laugh? Do I want to make them cry? Right? Mm-hmm. So all of those things you're doing ahead of time to make sure that at the end you are successful in making the person feel what you want them to feel, right? Mm-hmm. And that, just whether you're doing social media content, whether you're making a movie, whether you're making a sitcom, all of that, it's the same thing no matter what. And this is, you know, when I bring clients into my ecosystem, these are the things that I have them think about, you know, before they get on camera. So that's just a very quick method on how I approach getting on camera. I mean, it's a little bit more involved than that, but it just kind of gives you a little taste.
I'm so interested in how you just talked about all of that applying no matter the medium. So it doesn't matter whether it's social media content, whether it's acting or theater. It sounds like those principles are applicable to all of those different formats. And I was thinking, you know, if I'm a client of LaDuke Entertainment and I'm going to come in for a content day, all of those things that you're talking to me about, I was really wondering how that process works. So is there anything that you can think you do as just your team or within your content studio to help your clients do all of that preparation work and really to get them into a relaxed state? Does anything immediately come to mind?
Sure. We have our customer journey completely laid out so that when somebody comes here, we're putting them at ease before they even come here. we have videos that go out to them prepping them for the shoot, right? And getting them in the mindset that, you know, that they're going to be relaxed, that we're going to have music playing, and it's, you know, I'm directing the shoot so they feel good about what they're doing. I'm super encouraging, you know, so when they're at the end of the day, they just feel really good about what they did, right? And then I'm also their cheerleader. So I'm like, look, Scott, you did amazing today. I want you to think about not judging yourself too harshly, especially if this is our first shoot together, right? Mm-hmm. I don't want you to think about today. I want you to think about what you're going to be like 6 months from now. And then I also have these before and after videos of it's a compilation of several of my clients where I shot them the first day and then 6 months and the difference, right? And I'm like, this is going to be you. I promise. Just stick with it. Do you see how they were at first day one to month six? It's completely different. I promise you, you will also have this journey, you know? And so, it's a lot of prep work ahead of time. It's a lot of, you know, I like to treat all of my clients like they're already professionals. I don't like to coddle them too much because I think that it gets them too in their head. And I don't want them in their head. I want them leading from their heart, right? Mm. I want them leading from a different place of being self-conscious. And look, you're just, once again, you're just going to have that feel. You're just going to have this sort of trepidation and fear and stage fright and all of that when you first start. But have the courage to just keep doing it and you'll have the breakthrough. Like, it just will happen, you know? And whether... You know, and don't compare yourself either. I think a lot of people try to compare themselves on social media to other people. Maybe it's other people in their industry or other people that, like, maybe competitors that are also doing videos. Like, those people are going to have their audience. Your audience is going to find you, right? Like, I'm not everybody's cup of tea, and that's cool. You know what I mean? But the people that do like me, they like me, right? They resonate. We resonate. We're all on that same frequency, and that's okay. You know, and it's not a good or bad thing or right or wrong. It's just, it is what it is. So you don't have to have a million followers to make $1 million. You just have to put out your truth, your stories, how you help, how you provide a service, especially if you're doing, if you're in business. How are you helping the people? Are you answering their questions? Do they trust you? Right? Are you building authority, credibility, trust, brand, all of that stuff? And then when it comes to the sales, the sales presentation, it's going to be a lot easier because at that point, they're not necessarily asking whether or not you're credible and you have the authority. They're just going to ask whether or not they need to pick package A over package B or package C, right? Mm. Instead of you trying to manipulate them into buying your product, right? You've already done all of the pre-selling with this content. That's what the content is there for. It does all of your pre-marketing and your pre-selling so that when people come to the table, they're ready to go. They're ready to buy.
Going through this process of recording yourself, getting comfortable with yourself on camera and doing that over a long period of time, what I'm interested in is, do you also recommend that includes practicing and publishing? So I'm thinking here that you can practice in private and record yourself on camera without publishing it out to the world where only you see it. I guess a big part, a big factor in the fear of putting yourself on camera is judgment from others. And that's where the publishing comes in. Is that something you advise on?
There's a really good book that anybody who is sort of scared about putting themselves out there, it's called The Artist Way. And it talks about just, you know, taking yourself on an artist date, writing 3 pages a day, which I do every day, writing my pages. She calls them the morning pages. And then, you know, the artist date is to, like, get you inspired to be an artist. But she talks about in the book, like, write for the wastebasket, right? Write to throw things away. And if you think about, you know, to your point, you don't have to publish any of it. Like, just put it on camera and then throw it away and then delete it, right? And then just do it again. But here's what I will say is if you do publish it, you're going to hit another breakthrough point. And the breakthrough point of publishing is becoming irreverent, right? And when you become irreverent and when you start not caring what other people think, then you can finally be free, right? And that's where we want to be as artists. That's where we want to be as people. That's the whole reason why I want to put this book together, is so that people can live more free, right? And really understand who they are and have the time to, you know, discover who they are, right? And then be okay with putting themselves out there as their true self. Like, I'm goofy. I love musicals. I love slapstick comedy, and I like to be dumb, and you know what I mean? And I put some of that content out there too. And some people are like, oh my God, Armando, isn't that embarrassing? And I'm like, no, I don't care. I don't care. Right. Yeah. Like, I know the things that I love to do. And then once again, it's the harmony, right? It's the symphony. It's like the goofy, dumb Armando is also in concert with, you know, the highly productive and successful Armando, right? Like, those two people can exist at the same time, and they do.
Those before and after, like the storytelling of seeing someone on camera for the first time, recording them, and then seeing their progress in 6 months, a year's time. Do you use any of that material in your own marketing? Because I imagine that would be really good marketing material.
We definitely use it in the sales presentation, for sure. So we have three journeys, email nurture sequences. We have the prospect journey, we have the customer journey, and then we have the post-customer journey. And so in the prospect customer journey, we have that video of the before and after. And then we also have it in the customer journey to remind them of it, so they get it twice.
Do you still have acting ambitions and directing ambitions alongside your entrepreneurial endeavors?
This is also why I'm doing all of this, so that I have enough money to make my own movies and not have to worry about funding. I've got 8 screenplays or movie ideas ready in my head to pull the trigger on. So those films are, you know, in my ideas folder. And when I get to it, I'll like add a couple of things here and there, so that I'm never like ignoring it completely. But one of the, I'm working on a comedy right now. It's a sitcom called Life on Bourbon. And it's about these musicians that work on Bourbon Street have you ever been to Bourbon Street?
I know. And you know, I would love to go. I'm fascinated. Everything that you've talked about in terms of Bourbon Street, just in this podcast, I'm interested in looking at.
It is a circus. It's crazy. It's one of the most world famous streets in the world. So all of the musicians on Bourbon Street, they're cover band musicians, right? And incredible, like world class musicians, right? That for some reason or another, never took it to the next level, right? And so whether it was because of drugs, whether it was because of alcohol, whether it was because of, you know, sex, drugs, and rock and roll on a micro level, right? And the culture of that street is just alcohol, right? It's just drink, drink. You wake up, you drink. You go to work, you drink. You, after work, you go to your favorite dive, and then you drink. And then you go to you're on some sort of late night adventure through the quarter. Then you wake up with a hangover, you drink, you do some day drinking, and then you go back to work and you drink and you do it all over. I mean, it is like I lived that life, man, for like 8 years. Did a number on me. But you know, I'm completely sober right now. But the stories that I experienced, I was like, man, I have to tell these stories, right? The characters that I came in contact with, it was, you know, the tourists and the absolute craziness. So it is, I want to tell real stories and dramatic stories. Cause I mean, that's some of those stories, you know, were sad, you know, and a couple of my friends, you know, died, you know, drug overdose and you know, and like that part of it, I want to tell, because it's real, but I also want to tell it in a comedic way. So it's kind of like It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, if you've ever seen that show.
It's one of my favorite shows, yeah.
Yeah. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, but like mixed with The Office a little bit. Mm-hmm. So the telling is kind of a reality show, but it's told from the main character, my character, yeah, who is the singer of the band, and he has hired a filmmaker to record his life so that he can put it on social media. Right. And so it's told like, so it's got that documentary feel to it and like, you know, the confessionals and mm-hmm. all of that. But it's told from these musicians on Bourbon Street that are like, can we get this camera out of our face? Like, we never agreed for you to film us for your social media. He's like, all right, go ahead and blur them out, you know? So yeah, it's fun. It's a fun, so that's like, I do improv with a group out here, and so we use that time to like develop the stories and the telling of those stories.
The reason I asked about acting is because I'm interested from your personal perspective, if there's anything that you do differently when preparing or just getting yourself into the mindset of acting versus producing on-screen social media content. Is there anything that you did differently? How do you adapt?
No, I don't. It's the same. Like, I'll tell you, with social media content, if I'm doing like Q&A and podcasting, all of that stuff, it's already in my head. So I don't really have to think about it. A lot of this stuff is unconscious and competence. Like when I'm looking at a script, I can break a script down within 10 minutes of, okay, this is my character, this is my relationships, this is, you know, this is what I'm fighting for, this is my moment before, this is my button. You know, so I can like, I'll answer those questions really fast. And then I'm like, okay, got my, you know, I have my character. The thing is with movie, like Hollywood movies, when they ask you to be in the movie or when they ask you to audition for the movie, they already have the type, right? Like they're not, it's not necessarily, I'm never going to play a 60-year-old woman, right? So they're always going to ask me to play FBI agent, police sergeant, somebody in charge, lawyers, doctors, you know, those kind of characters. So it's not when I get the scripts, I don't necessarily have to do too much in preparation because it's really like, oh, it's Armando in this situation with this accent, with these circumstances. Oh, okay, it's Armando in this circumstance. Imagine Armando if he didn't have parents and he grew up, you know, doing drugs and now he's, you know, a drug lord for drug cartel, right? Like, okay, that, and then he has a Spanish accent. Great. That would be Armando in that circumstance, right? So it's not necessarily, I approach the scripts going, okay, what are things that I am like with this character and what are things that I'm not like with this character? Right. And then I try to bridge the gap.
Thinking from your acting perspective, you know, we hear when we talk about movies, we talk about screen presence. And coming into this, I was thinking about confidence. And one of the questions that I had in mind is screen presence anything more than just someone who is experienced and confident?
I think you nailed it. I think you hit it on the head. I think it's being so irreverent. And there is a book by Eric Morris called Irreverent Acting, which is amazing. But it's really being so free of judgment, being so free of that inner critic in your brain that you can just flow freely, right? Mm. And you're in such a mode where you're so far past the point of being scared on camera that you're able to play, right? And that's where and some people get to that point a lot faster than other people. Mm. Some people are super free. Like you can, you know, Dakota Fanning when she was on Man on Fire and all these other movies, you know, or Joel Osteen, was it Joel Osteen? Not Joel Osteen. The guy that was in the kid that was in Sixth Sense.
Oh yeah. I can't remember his name, but I know who you're talking about. I'm sure everyone will know who you're talking about. Yeah.
So he's, you know, those, those kids were so free, you know, that they just slipped in, and it was, there was no friction. And so I think that when you see actors that are completely comfortable in who they are, that's when they can, that's when they can put on the veil of another character. Granted, these people have also had a lot of training and technique, right? So you can't just I mean, look, some people have raw talent. You got Michael Jordan, you know, and those people that are amazing at what they do, but they also put in the work, right? And so the acting technique exists because it's the work that you need to do ahead of time to, in order to get into to character. Right. You know, some people are method actors, like your Daniel Day-Lewis, who will live as Abraham Lincoln for the entire shoot of the movie, or maybe even 2 months before the movie starts, right? Mm. You hear Jared Leto, who was, you know, playing the Joker, was doing crazy stuff on set and like pranking people, and to the point where it was like a little much, you know? So how people approach the acting work is different, but I will say the freedom when they realize that they don't have to listen to that inner critic and that they can be super free, they'll get to that point of being confident and not worrying about themselves on camera, you know, but that takes time. That takes practice. Read those books. There's plenty of books on acting that'll kind of get you into that mindset. And here's the thing. When you study, the confidence comes from the knowledge, right? I'm confident telling you how to grow a business, and I'm confident telling you how to be on camera. And I'm confident because I have the experience and the knowledge, right? If I was faking it, if I really didn't know, I'd be so nervous on this podcast right now.
Yeah.
You know, I would be like, oh my God, well, I don't really but I've also, my God, been through thousands of auditions and have heard the word no, I don't know how many times. I mean, I got cast in the movie Ant-Man, the first one. And I had my plane ticket. I had my scenes. I was supposed to be the general of a Panamanian army. And Michael Douglas's character was going to be Ant-Man, and he was going to crawl in my ear and my head was going to explode. And I was like, I was in a Marvel movie. I was in. And they fired the director and they rewrote the script, and my part got written out.
Yeah. Heartbreaking.
You know, oh my God, I cried. You know, so when you have those moments, those scars become what creates that confidence in you, right? Because you know you've been in it. You've been to war, right? Like you've been in this sort of chew you up and spit you out business that the entertainment business is like. And so when you experience those sort of setbacks, you also come to it with a different mindset where you don't have those rose colored glasses that you used to when you first start out in this business, you know. Another quick story. So here's a quick story. I was in the movie Focus with Will Smith and Margot Robbie. Had a killer scene with Will Smith and them, and got invited to the red carpet. I was right there on Hollywood Boulevard in front of the Chinese theater, and I'm getting interviewed and pictures taken. I go into the movie and my scene was cut.
Oh no.
And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
And my, you know, and I had put it on social media and people were like, that's amazing. Da, 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 da. And then, they were like, I saw the movie. I never saw you in it. Where were you? And then I had to tell people that I got cut out of the movie, you know? So when, like, look, and I have tons of stories like that. So, you know, when you kind of go through it, and that's one thing that I'll tell you too, is don't be afraid to go through it. Don't be afraid of the setbacks. The setbacks is what's going to teach you. Like when you look at yourself on camera and you don't like the way you look, that's great. because now you can do something about it. What didn't, so don't just say you didn't like the way you look, right? Go, what don't I like about what I'm wearing? Is the patterns on my shirt too busy? Am I wearing stripes and that makes me look big? Is the camera angle off? We all have a good side. Is it my right side? Is it my left side? What are the clothes that I'm wearing? Do I have makeup on? Did I do my hair? You know, maybe next time I should put some foundation on, you know, even if I'm a guy, right? Maybe I need a shave. Maybe I need to, you know, put myself together. Like, great. Now I have that information. Now the next time, at least I can do something about my appearance and make myself look the best that I can be, right? Now, vocally, do I not like how I sound? Okay, I can change the way I sound if I change the way I say things. I can bring it down here and have a conversation. And here's the deal. When you're watching movies, for some reason, everybody's talking at this level always. And it's nice, right? It's intriguing. There's a lot of things you can do with your voice at this level. I get real hype. Like when I'm on a podcast, like I'm just hype, right? Yeah. I'm super passionate about what I'm saying, but I also have the intention of wanting to motivate and excite people with what I'm saying. So that's why I'm using this sort of inflection. Yeah. But if I really want to bring somebody in and I really want them to listen, I might just bring it down a little bit where they have to go, wait, hold on. What am I doing? Hold on. He just changed vocal inflection. Now he's whispering. What is he saying? And now they're paying attention, right? Because you can get them to pay attention all kinds of different ways. How fast you say things, how slow you say things, with emphasis on things. There's so many ways you can use your voice, right? So if you don't necessarily like the way you sound, you can change things about your voice to once again get to the end result, which is how do you want to make them feel?
Yeah, but you can only do these things, as you said, if you give yourself the opportunity to kind of study yourself and go through this process, really. One final question for you as we wrap up here. I'm fascinated by a lot of your stories and a lot of your lessons, but we will wrap up here. BS myths that you'd like to bust about confidence, and particularly being on screen or on camera. So two things come to mind for me. There's the cliche, you know, imagine your audience naked. That will give you more confidence. I don't know how true that is. I've never tried it. And, you know, the other thing that's on my mind is that I'm seeing a lot of these AI tools develop, particularly for social media creators, that augment eye contact with the screen, which is really interesting. Is there anything that you'd like to bust, tips you've seen that you just think are ridiculous?
I think there's validity in picturing your audience naked only because it makes you laugh, and that laughter can take the tension off.
Yep.
So that's why I guess they say that in particular. Tips and tricks, I guess whatever gets you out of your head, I would say is something that you should probably try. For me, when I'm practicing a script, I'll try it in different accents just to get out of my perspective. Because sometimes when I do a Southern accent, I just feel different, right? And then I just look at things just differently from this perspective, you know? But when I change to this more British, and I don't think I do it the best, but when I do it, I think different too. I think a little bit more, and then my body changes a little bit, and then now I have my chest is up, and my vocal inflection is different, right? So whatever you can do to sort of get yourself out of your brain and out of this sort of self-conscious feel, do it, you know, make yourself laugh, do some accents, you know, try on different emotions, you know, I'm all for different things that like get you out of your head.
Armando, fascinating to talk to you. If people want to learn more about you, Leduc Entertainment, I can't wait. I hope that I see whatever format it comes out in, Life on Bourbon Street. Where can they find all this information?
It's going to be, all of that stuff is going to live on LeducEntertainment.com. There'll be links to Sketchy Characters, which is my creative aspect. But if they want to see creative, fun, funny stuff like my music, and because I do a lot of parody music, they could see it at Sketchy Characters on YouTube. And then just look me up, Armando Leduc. I'm all over the place. I'm on every platform. Social media. I'm all over it. So you can Google me, hit me up, DM me. I'm pretty responsive.
Thanks so much for your time. I wish you all the best with those endeavors. They sound fascinating, and I can't wait to see you on the big screen or in my headphones or sometime soon. So thanks for that.
Scott, I appreciate you, man. Thanks.
This has been the Internet Marketing Podcast. Take care.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.